gonna call to order. Is this working right? Can you hear me? Is this
testing,
echoing?
Testing. Hang on.
Does it sound like it's echoing? It doesn't sound like it's echoing.
There you go.
How
testing,
about that?
Testing, testing.
Okay. At 6:02, I'm gonna call to order the May 15th, 2023 meeting of the Board of Trustees. For the Claremont County Public Library, may I please have a roll call?
Ms. Dodd?
Here.
Mr. Carnicle?
Here.
Ms. Wade?
Here.
Mr. Humphrey?
Here.
Ms. Ramos?
Here.
Thank you. Okay, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First item on the agenda, we need approval of the April 17th, 2023 minutes as mailed. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Waite seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ramos abstains.
Mr. Ramos abstains. All right. Any opposed? Anyone left to oppose?
Is the attendance right on the special meeting?
I thought it was. All right, that one passed.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of the April 24th, 2023 special meeting minutes as mailed. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Cardinal makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Waite makes a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain.
Mr. Humphrey abstains. Thank you. Motion passes. All right. Public participation doesn't appear like we have any, so we are going to move to the next item on the agenda. We were going to have our representative, Adam Bird, here to talk about the budget and the impact of the library and the PLF. However, he had a last-minute conflict and was not able to join us tonight, but I understand he said he would try to reschedule that and come and talk to us at a later date. Okay. All right, next item on the agenda is the kickoff. I'm very excited about this for the Get to Know the Library series. We are kicking it off with the Board of Trustees presentation. So I'm just going to turn it over to our tech guru over here to get us started on that. And do we need to move?
Oh, that's why the chairs are there.
Yep.
That's it.
Oh, we have.
I did not bring popcorn.
She takes good care of us.
You probably can.
The informational series, Getting to Know the Claremont County Public Library. In each segment, we'll learn all about a library department or about one of our 10 library branches. In this segment, the spotlight is focused on the library's Board of Trustees. I'm Jennifer Doss, current board president, and I'm very happy to share more information about the board with you. Understanding the library's Board of Trustees starts with its organization, or makeup, and that's determined by its type. Claremont County Public Library is considered a county district. Along with Claremont County, there are 52 other county district libraries in the state of Ohio. Other library types include association, municipal, school district, and township. County district libraries maintain a 7-member Board of Trustees. 4 members are appointed by the Board of County Commissioners, and 3 members are appointed by the County's Court of Common Pleas. Each board member is appointed for a 7-year term, and there are no term limits. Board members swear an oath of office upon their appointment, undergo a trustee orientation in their first weeks of service, and complete an annual attestation of their roles and responsibilities during their term. For more information on current board members, their term dates, and how they were appointed, please see the appendix. The Board of Trustees has responsibility for multiple items, including establishing policies to provide the direction for all aspects of the library. Policies provide guidelines for the library's administration. They define what should be done, but not how it should be done. Policies are implemented through procedures developed by the library staff. Policies should be reviewed regularly and updated to meet current conditions. The library's bylaw and policy committee reviews and recommends updates accordingly. The library's legal counsel should also review its proposed policies and procedures to assure that they do not conflict with the law or with other regulatory guidance. Another responsibility of the board is the oversight of the financial operations of the library, which includes adopting an annual budget, approving bills, and reviewing the financial documents of the library. The library has a budget committee, which includes the director, fiscal officer, as well as select members of the board. When dealing with public monies, accountability is a primary responsibility. The library board is accountable to ensure, through bonding and scrutiny of reports, that the library director and the fiscal officer use funds for agreed upon library services and in a wise and legally correct manner. It's important to note that the state auditor's office will hold the fiscal officer and the library directly responsible for any improper handling of monies and for internal control as well. Purchasing and maintaining all property owned by the library is another responsibility of the board. As a result, the library has a building committee. The board is responsible for appointing and evaluating both the library's director and the fiscal officer. The personnel committee consists of select board members who perform quarterly check-ins as well as an annual performance review of both the director and fiscal officer. Each board member is responsible for acting as an advocate for the library in the community as well as in government, as board trustees act as representatives of the library to the community. Finally, board members are responsible for staying informed on issues that impact public libraries and supporting the library's mission and values. As a reminder, the mission of the Claremont County Public Library is to foster lifelong learning by providing resources that inform, programs that engage, and ideas that inspire. Our core values are access, service, diversity, education, and integrity. Board members review and attest to a statement of expectations on an annual basis, usually at the January monthly board meeting. These responsibilities are specific to the Claremont County Public Library, and board members are expected to understand, follow, and be accountable to them throughout their appointed terms. These expectations include: represent and advocate for the mission, values, and goals of the library. Attend meetings of the library's Board of Trustees. This includes scheduled monthly meetings, special meetings, and committee meetings. 12 regular monthly meetings are scheduled each year. The library's board is an appointed governmental body accountable to the citizens of the library's service district. As such, board members are encouraged to attend all 12 meetings. Minimum attendance expected of each individual board member is 75%, or 9 of 12 monthly meetings. In the event a board trustee is unable to attend a meeting, they must inform the library director in advance of the meeting to ensure a quorum. Trustees are encouraged to participate in committees. Currently, the board has the following committees: budget, building, bylaw and policy, and personnel. Trustees are encouraged to attend Claremont County Public Library events. trustees serve without compensation. This is a volunteer commitment. In general, trustees are guided in the performance of their duties by the Claremont County Public Library Board of Trustees Handbook, which includes the most recent edition of the Ohio Public Library Trustees Handbook, published by the Ohio Library Council. Trustees must abide by the Ohio Ethics Law and guidelines for public officials as they apply to public library trustees, including the disclosure of any potential conflict of interest with the Claremont County Public Library. The board is subject to the basic operating policies or bylaws by which it conducts business. These bylaws shall be kept up to date, and if changes or amendments are necessary, they will be done via appropriate proposal, motion, and vote by the board. Any actions taken that do not align with the bylaws may be subject to legal action. Library board meetings are classified as either regular, special, or emergency. All meetings, regardless of type, shall follow the parliamentary authority found in Robert's Rules of Order. So board members and library staff attending the meetings should be familiar in their use. It's important to note that for meetings with less than 15 members, simplifications as outlined in the trustee handbook are acceptable. Ohio public records and open meetings laws are collectively known as sunshine laws. Under these laws, standing as well as ad hoc meetings, including committee meetings, operate under the same guidelines as routine monthly board meetings. Executive session is governed by the Ohio Revised Code, and reasons to go into executive session must be specific. Topics may be discussed in executive session, but nothing may be voted upon nor decided during the executive session. Members of the public are both allowed and encouraged to attend meetings, but they are not allowed in executive session. The Claremont County Prosecutor's Office serves as the library's legal counsel, although outside counsel can be utilized if deemed necessary. A note about public records. Public records are any item that contains information stored on a fixed medium, such as paper, electronic, including but not limited to email, and other formats, is created or received by or sent under the jurisdiction of a public office, and documents the organization, functions, policies, decisions, procedures, operations, or other activities of the office. Therefore, board meeting packets, agendas, and minutes must follow appropriate guidance. Minutes from each meeting, regardless of type, are required and are considered permanent records of the organization. Board members are expected to leverage the library's internal email service when communicating about library business and must follow the regulatory requirements for doing so. Please note, public records are to be open to the public at all reasonable times, with exceptions only as provided for in the law. For more information, please see the appendix. In addition to the meeting minutes that are required, monthly financial reports are also required to be maintained. These include a reconciliation of bank balances to the fund balances, a cash position report, a report that compares estimated and actual receipts and expenditures for each fund, and an investment record that reports current investments held by the library. On an annual basis, the library's fiscal officer prepares a financial report for the state auditor. The Ohio Auditor of State's Office audits public libraries on a 1 or 2 year cycle, depending upon whether the library has received federal funds. Public libraries welcome audits as an opportunity to reassure taxpayers that the library is operating honestly, efficiently, and within the laws of the state of Ohio. It's the responsibility of each library board member to understand the expectations of the role, to attend meetings, and to work collaboratively with their fellow board members. These are just some guidelines for successful board meetings and board member behaviors. First of all, please make sure to review the materials prior to each and every meeting in order to be adequately prepared. during the meeting, and sure to follow the agenda and be present. Leverage the responsibilities to guide your discussions, comments, and questions. Please avoid sidebar conversations during the meeting. And stay focused on current events rather than the historical. Be collaborative and act as a group and speak with one voice. Every board member has the right to discuss and vote. In the event you disagree with the majority of vote, disagree and then commit to the group's action. Just a note about monthly board meetings, they do occur on the third Monday of each month, unless that day falls on a holiday. Meeting dates are posted to the library's website. About personnel. The library board gives clear direction to the library director and to the fiscal officer in the separation of their duties. The library director sets the budget goals and expends the funds within the accounts, which have been approved by the board. The fiscal officer is responsible for reporting on and accounting for the expenditure of funds within the appropriated limits set by the board. The director and fiscal officer collaborate and partner, but have separate roles without authority over one another. They each report directly to the board. The board's personnel committee is responsible for quarterly check-ins and annual performance reviews of both the fiscal officer and the director. Please note, there's no direct line between managers and staff of the library to the board. The board is not there to direct, supervise, or control library staff. Want more information about the Board of Trustees? Click on each item to learn more.
Would you like to go ahead and click through the rest?
Each year, the president assigns 2 to 3 board members to assign the following year's officer slate. That includes president, vice president, and secretary. The recommendations are brought to the board at the January monthly board meeting, where the newly recommended officer slate is reviewed and adopted by the board. On this slide, you'll find the list of current board members, their term dates, and the method by which they were appointed to the board. Every library board member serves on at least one committee. Board members are appointed to the committees by the board president annually, generally at the January monthly board meeting. Select staff attend each committee meeting depending upon the committee and/or topics. Committee meetings are scheduled on an as-needed basis and are subject to Ohio's open meeting laws. Current board committees include the Budget Committee, Building Committee, Personnel Committee, and the Bylaw and Policy Committee. New committees may be added at the discretion of the board or board president. On this slide, you'll see a list of the current board committees and the members of each committee. As mentioned, the Claremont County Public Library Board of Trustees gives clear direction to both the library director and the fiscal officer on the separation of their duties. Among other duties, the library director sets the budget goals and expends the funds within the accounts, which have been approved by the board, while the fiscal officer is responsible for reporting on and accounting for the expenditure of funds within the appropriated limits set by the board. The director and the fiscal officer are the only library associates who report directly to the board. On this slide, you'll see a high-level organizational chart of the library's staff. Library funding sources consist of the following. The Public Library Fund, also known as the PLF, this is a percentage of the state's general revenue fund. The distribution of the PLF from the state to each county is based upon a formula devised by the Public Library Financing and Support Committee. The distribution formula provides for a guaranteed share based upon the county's percent share of the 1985 intangible taxes plus consumer price index and for a share of the excess. Using an equalization ratio, which is based upon each county's share of the statewide population, the amount of income tax over the guaranteed share is distributed to each county. Both shares are calculated by the Ohio Department of Taxation. The county treasurer must distribute all funds by the 15th day of each month. A state tax commissioner calculates the estimates of money in the PLF. The first calculation is made on or before July 25th for the following year. And in December, the tax commissioner must update the estimates for the following year and certify the revised estimates to each county auditor. The library also receives funding via Claremont County taxes. The library passed a 0.9 mil operating level levy in 2008, and additional funding also comes from its investments. The library has engaged Red Tree to manage an investment portfolio, as well as from library fees and fines. The final fees and fines comprise the smallest portion of the library's revenue. On this slide, you'll find hyperlinks to regulatory guidance pertinent to the library. Chapter 3375 of the Ohio Revised Code, or ORC, addresses regulations concerning libraries. ORC Section 3375.40 sets the Board of Library Trustees' powers and duties. Ohio's Public Records and Open Meetings Laws, known as the Sunshine Laws, give Ohioans access to government meetings and records. The Ohio Attorney General's Office helps public officials and citizens understand their rights and responsibilities under these laws. Finally, the Ohio Ethics Commission does an annual presentation at the Ohio Library Commission's Fiscal Officers Conference. The Claremont County Public Library follows their guidance regarding ethics. Thank you for your time. I hope you learned something new about the library's Board of Trustees. Additional presentations in this instructional series will be forthcoming. I realized that regulatory guidance slide is kind of my love language because I start rattling off the 3375.40. Oh, yeah. So thank you, everyone, for putting up with that presentation. There are a couple of items that I need to re-record. Unfortunately, my laptop would only let me record from the beginning.
Oh, no.
So after about the fourth time last night around 10 o'clock when I was trying to get that finalized, I decided we're just going to roll with it. So I will be re-recording that. And then Chris, you said that that's going to be available for the staff for training going forward. And then every subsequent monthly presentation, hopefully will follow a similar type format and that can be used as well. But I know it was a little dry, but that's my kind of thing. So I appreciate your attention. And we will make sure that the board members who were not able to attend tonight will have a hard copy. Yes, Mr. Humphrey. What did I mess up?
Make sure that those are available on the web for the public.
I'm fine with that. I think that would be great. We'll get that when we get it re-recorded and updated.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Any other questions or comments about that?
I get paid pretty well. I don't understand what you said, but we don't get paid.
You're going to get paid in pie. We're all going to get paid in pie. Cherry pie. All right. Well, I'm just excited. Thank you. I'm excited to get this series kicked off. I'm really excited to hear more about the other departments and just get them front and center and let everyone just share their accomplishments and the things that they're working on and just get everybody back in front of the board so that we get reacquainted on that personal level. I'm excited about it.
I think you set the bar high.
I don't know about that.
They'll all do an excellent job, though. They will.
Yes, I'm excited. All right. Moving on to more exciting stuff, fiscal officer's report.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We have the April 2023 financials. the bank reconciliation, followed by the check register. A bills paid and the anthem registered. We also have the refunds and staff reimbursements, the month-to-date and year-to-date fund reports. And then we have the end-of-month balancing report. Then we have some basic housekeeping resolutions for the new business.
Could you talk a little bit about the PLF for this month? Just
yes.
Give a quick little overview there. Just any thoughts or anything you want to call out with the PLF for these numbers?
Did you want
to? Sure.
Okay. The May 2023 PLF distribution were down a little bit. They were 15.36% below the ODT's original estimate that was issued in July 2022. And $1.5 million below their updated and estimated issued on December 2022. According to the Office of Budget and Management, overall state tax revenues for the month of April came in at $178.1 million, or 6% below the estimates. Even though the shortfall was primarily driven by the personal income tax underperforming, other categories missed the mark as well. Non-auto sales tax and auto sales tax. OBM attributed the PIT shortfall to a timing issue and anticipates the shortfall being corrected in the month of May. Overall state revenues remain ahead for the state fiscal year 23 and are still exceeding estimates by $626.6 million. So we have there. We just received our
PLF. Any?
I said we're still. Well, it looks like we're still up by 30,000 or so.
Yeah. Just curious to see how it's gonna keep going.
That was from OLC today. That
yes, that's what we got from them today.
That memo. Yeah. Thank you for that. I put you on the spot there. Sorry.
It's okay.
Everybody's always interested about the PLF and seeing what the numbers look like, and because it's been higher. This is the first month that it hasn't been higher than the estimate. So,
yeah, look at you said one of the items was a new automobile purchase and taxes associated with that. My gosh, with rates going up and everything, you know, we're getting hammered.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. Thanks, Sleepy Joe.
So I think that's it. Did anyone have any other questions? We also have the supplemental check register at the back.
Any questions about any of the financial reports before we start doing motions?
Very complete and thorough. Thank you.
Yep. Good job. All right. So we need to approve the April 2023 financial reports. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Humphrey.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Cardinal makes seconds for us. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Next one is the April 2023 bills paid. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Waite makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Ramos is seconding. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and third, we have the April 2023 bill paid for Anthem. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mr. Ramos makes the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Cardinal seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, for the record, I abstain. Okay, thank you very much. Moving on, director's report.
Let's start off with a donation because I don't want to forget it. We received 500, as long as you agree, gently used adult and young adult books for the use of our summer reading prizes for adults and young adults from Half Price Books at the Beachmont location. So if you could motion to approve that donation.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I have a question. Do I answer it later? Ask it later?
We'll do the motion, then we'll have discussion.
Right. Make a motion.
Humphrey. Mr. Humphrey makes a motion.
Second.
Mr. Cardinal seconds. All right, let's talk.
I just wondered if they meet the standards, the same standards the library has in purchasing books, and these donated books.
Teresa, can you speak to more about how the titles were reviewed?
What we asked, and Julie, you can help me as well, mm-hmm. because you were the one who talked to them.
Yeah, I can speak to this. We limited the selection to make sure that we were not getting material that did not meet our standards.
Thank you.
It's material that is cooking,
mm-hmm.
Self-help, some fiction, but mystery, keeping with like the Pattersons and the things like that, the popular things that we already buy that maybe somebody might want to copy for themselves, and then arts and crafts.
Perfect.
And some, did I say cooking?
Gardening.
Yes,
cooking, yeah, and gardening.
Gardening.
So it was limited to make sure that we didn't have to look at each one individually, but subject areas that we knew we already collected.
Okay,
so yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Chris,
was there a pie recipe in that?
You know, I will not share mine.
Oh, goodness.
Made me lose my train of thought over pie. I like cherry pie a lot. Is this something that we've done with them before in the past, or is this a brand new thing that we...
This is brand new.
Okay.
Books as prizes are really popular, but they're expensive.
Yeah.
And so we've limited them to kids. So there was a request from staff to have prizes for adults, because adults can participate in summer reading, to have prizes that were more interesting or desirable. And so looking for a potential partner to get some donated materials that we wouldn't have to be financially responsible for. So they agreed to the donation, and we're really happy about that.
So we approached them.
Yes.
And got there. Okay.
I believe so.
Great.
I believe that's how it worked, because one of our staff members is a previous employee and had an in.
Excellent. Great. All right. Any other questions before we do our vote? All right, so Mr. Humphrey made the motion. Mr. Cardinal seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. All right, Chris, you can go on with your report.
Okay. I'll keep it brief. Dolly Parton Imagination Library, current enrollment is 7,059 as of today. That is a jump to 52.1% of the eligible children. We're still using a decade-old number from the census, but that's okay. We're doing great in the county on Imagination Library. There is going to be an event on June 15th here at the branch that's partnering with Click Wow. That's the tablet distribution program that we've been a part of for many years. Health Source is also going to be there, United Way, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library of Claremont County, and we're going to promote those services to during a tablet distribution in June 15th. So that's coming up. Anybody who's interested for that should check out the Click Wow website. That's tablet distributions for children under the age of 5.
Where will that be?
Here at Miami Township. Additional information, the School Readiness Committee, who does really, really great work, that was our former Ready to Read committee, and have expanded, you've probably read this in my previous reports, expanded from early literacy to also include up to through grade 3 for the third grade reading guarantee, and just try and target young readers. And they've been working on a survey that was done with area teachers, and they're getting those results back and collating that survey summary. So I look forward to sharing that with you, but I think we're really on track for what we have been doing to serve young children in school readiness and that work there. They are also creating video content that's going to highlight the various skills that are highlighted in our school readiness booklet, and provide tips for working with your kids at home, and also book recommendations. So those will be going live on the website coming up. They've done a great job with that, And Shannon in our CED department really did a good job editing those. So look for those coming soon. And if you read the HR notes, we mentioned our Thank a Library Worker program during National Library Month. It's traditionally a week, but we celebrate the whole month. There were 984 Thank a Library slips that staff sent to each other throughout the system. So I just wanted to shout that out and let you all know that we have a great team, and they're thankful for what we all do and for each other. So I just wanted to share that.
We have 116 employees, so that is a great.
Yes. So that's anything else in the director's report that you might have had questions about?
I do. The MOUs with the Claremont County Job and Family Services and Ohio News Jobs, can you tell me about them?
So that was introduced, I think, last month. What we are having our MOU for is services that the client services that OMJ and JFS provide have paperwork involved, and their clients have a hard time getting to Batavia. So we're using Hamilton County Library System and Hamilton County JFS as a model that has a reciprocal agreement that individuals can come to the library and the library scans the documents over to JFS. And so that's what we're doing. It's all done with the library's equipment, so there's no cost involved. The problem is they need a scan receipt from JFS and OMJ, and that's currently, there's technical difficulties with that as well with my microphone. And so we haven't launched it yet. We're still waiting for them to get those receipts to be sent consistently. So I think we really pride ourselves on our community partnerships, and that's going to make individuals that are working with that those two organizations have better access, which is one of our goals as well.
I think it's really a good project. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? So you've got the circulation, door counts, and the strategic plan goal report as well in your packets.
Any other questions regarding the director's report? Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is committee reports. We have the building committee first. So Ms. Waite is chair. Would you like to give an update, please?
Very brief, concise report.
Okay.
After our special meeting, Chris delivered our counter offer. It was accepted, and Chris saw that the papers are all signed, sealed, and delivered, and now the check is in the mail.
Excellent.
The end.
Thank you. That one. Not just a concise report, but a positive one as well.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for meeting during the special meeting and having good discussion, and thanks, Chris, for staying on top of that and keeping that communication at the end there. I know you were trying to reach out last minute, so thank you for all that work.
Glad to get that one done in time, too.
That was nice. That was definitely a positive. So, Budget Committee, Mr. Cardinal, since Ms. Kasika is not here tonight,
sure.
Would you like to give the update, please?
Yeah, the Budget Committee met on April the 25th, and we discussed two items. The first one was the capital budget, and Melanie put that together with Don, of course. And the bottom line is that total expenditures, additional expenditures total $212,000. And as we looked at the whole thing, I mean, you know, it's really a good plan. I mean, the items that they look at and what's required is just fine. And so Don is ready to go ahead and give us a 3-year, a 5-year, and a 10-year forecast of money that need to be expended for capital improvement. And, you know, and if you look at this, I think you were all given copies of this.
No, they weren't. Just the budget committee.
Okay. But, you know, the biggest item was we need some new software, $83,000 worth of software. Other items, seal coating at locations, furniture purchase at the Batavia location. But overall, I mean, it's a good, you know, Don really had really dug deep and came up with the items and did a nice job, really good control of the thing. So the budget committee recommends that we approve this. So do we need to vote on this right now?
We'll get to it at the end of the,
okay.
On the new business.
Gotcha. The second item is our courier service. We had to employ a courier service because some staffing shortages. And so this courier service was employed and has done a fine job. And as we look forward, the recommendation is that we continue with this courier service because, you know, it doesn't run out of staff and, you know, they're always there. And the bottom line, Melanie put together some numbers for us as well there, just talking about the cost of the courier service going forward and then it would, what it would take if we did it in-house. And, you know, it's less expensive going with the courier service. So the recommendation is that we go forward long-term with the courier service. But it'll be a year-by-year kind of look at it, though. So just because there are a number of courier services out there, and we want to make sure that they're competitive. So the recommendation is that we adopt this courier service full-time.
And I just want to add on to that. The committee talked about doing it through the rest of this year, and we will reevaluate it. We're going to keep a box truck. We are currently down one maintenance shuttle driver. We're not going to fill that position. And the current another position of the person who's been out on leave will come back, and they'll be maintained in the facilities department doing shuttle support and maintenance. So they will not be losing their position either. So we will maintain employment of that individual, and it does not affect any terms and conditions of employment.
Is that a contract, the carrier service? Is that a contract or a case-by-case or service-by-service?
Annual contract, right?
I'm sorry?
Is it an annual contract? Is it a contract for the courier, the external courier service?
Yeah, we can set what the time limits that we want for that service.
But
we did it for short term.
But it is a contract.
Yeah, we would sign an agreement with them. And, of course, we send that all to council to review.
And that's, is the service paid as it's needed, or is it a flat service and we use it when we want?
It's a monthly agreed cost for the services that they've been providing. We started out with 3 days a week. Now we're up to 5 days a week due to the staffing shortages, so they would just maintain a five-day-a-week service.
Okay. The nice thing about the courier service, which we discussed during the budget committee meeting, was that there are multiple couriers available, so we're not just limited to one. If we want to, you know, look at other opportunities, they can continue to assess that each year. Yes.
Each month, right? I mean, if it's a monthly contract, you can reassess each month.
And we can set it as a monthly or a year annual.
I think
contract.
We would agree through this to the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
is the intent, and then we'll take a look at it again to see, you know, weighing the staffing costs versus the cost of the courier. I mean, if they jack up the prices, then we might be looking at keeping it in-house.
Or a different courier.
Or a different courier.
There's flexibility. Yes, Mr. Humphrey.
Go ahead.
This is a fixed schedule and routes, so it isn't as needed exactly. It is our plan to.
Correct.
Yes.
There is a fixed
we
schedule.
We know what they're going to do, and we know what it's going to cost.
Yes, that's right.
What's interesting is that if we looked at this on the current one on an annual basis, the cost is $67,600. If we kept it in-house and with wages at a $20 an hour pay rate, we're talking $83,000. So it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, plus wear and tear on trucks.
Exactly right.
Depreciation.
Gasoline, fuel. To go back to the first item from the Budget Committee, I just wanted to reinforce what Mr. Cardinal said about the good job that Don was doing for forecasting, the facilities work that's needed. He talked about the rotation, right? So you're always keeping branches in rotation, so you're not, you know, assigning the repairs all at one time. You know, he's keeping a scheduled and preventative maintenance as well. So it was a really well thought out list for that that consideration of the committee. All right. Thank you, Mr. Cardinal. Any other questions about the Budget Committee meeting? Okay. Next on our agenda, we have executive session. I need a motion to go into executive session pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G4 for the purpose of reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment. Do I have a motion?
So move, Humphrey.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Cardinal seconds. I believe I need a roll call vote for this one. Yes.
Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go into executive session at 6:48 p.m.